The Steve Cochran Show.
None of us can raise a family, build a business, heal a community, or lift a country totally alone. America needs every one of us to lend our energy, our talents, our ambition to making our nation better and stronger. I believe that with all my heart. A country where the economy works for everyone, not just those at the top. A country where all our children can dream and those dreams are within reach. And yes, where love trumps hate.
This is my fight song. Take back my life.
Six ten in the morning, it's over. The conventions. And I think we have 100 days to Election Day. Andrea Darlis in just a moment from Philadelphia. Let me go there now because she was in the room last night when Chelsea Clinton introduced her mom. Pretty powerful stuff, wasn't it? It must have been kind of cool to be there.
It was really cool to be there. I stayed all the way through the balloon drop and watched Hillary throwing the balloons on stage. And Chelsea Clinton introduced her mom. It was a very sweet moment, much, much different from Ivanka's introduction. But, you know, they're two different people. You know, Chelsea's more soft-spoken. She's a mom. And
I didn't realize 5 weeks ago she had the baby.
Yeah, she looks great. She's a two-year-old and a five-week-old.
And Ivanka was only a couple of months, right?
Yeah, and you know what, too? They're friends. I mean, I think we've talked about this, too. And they both are very classy women, which actually goes along with the theme of the year, I guess, this fight song and then empowering women. But they're very good friends. They won't say anything negative about each other, which, thank God. They say that they both respect their parents as candidates. So I like Chelsea's introduction. It was very sweet.
I thought so, too.
Again, much different than Ivanka.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I was struck, though, a couple of times looking at her and thinking about Ivanka last week. They both seem like very decent people. I don't know either one of them. They both seem like very decent people. And you think about their parents on both sides, and you go, well, how the hell did that happen?
You know, it was funny. I know. I thought that, too. I thought, well, now if Hillary Clinton is the next president, you know, look at that burden for Chelsea. She has to say, yeah, both my parents have been president of the United States.
Amy Carter seems to be a very private person. She seems to be fairly normal. Eleanor Mondale certainly had a rough ride, the late Eleanor Mondale. But growing up in the White House as a kid, I mean, it can't be easy. And that's frankly, that's another reason to be rather amazed at what the Obamas appear to have done with their daughters, because, one's going off to college and not a single incident of trouble as far as we know. And we know, I always forget who's the oldest, Sasha or Malia.
Sasha and Malia. I think Sasha's the older one, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, it's the other way around?
I'm pretty sure it's the other way around. Yeah.
And Malia was at Lollapalooza last year. You know, remember that picture?
And I think this year, too. You know, and that's another thing.
Was she again?
I think so. Here's why. And this really frustrated me, because there was some sort of a Facebook video or something on Twitter saying, she was at the Walgreens in Kenwood. You know, again, keep the children. I know she's a young adult now, but keep them out of whatever sort of reporting or politics that there are.
Oh, you mean news? News is reporting?
Yeah, it was all over social media yesterday that she was at the Walgreens.
Well, but social media is one thing. Yeah, but did news report this?
Kind of. I don't know if they reported it, but it was on their feed.
Really?
Yeah, on Facebook. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, maybe leave that to Sneed. I mean, that's a little goofy. All right, so what is the morning in Philadelphia? Do you have to help clean up the Wells Fargo Center, or what happens now?
You know, Cleveland and Philadelphia were so different as far as structure and cleanup. This was at Wells Fargo, as you said. It was way kind of away from everything, whereas Cleveland was right downtown. So they started that takedown immediately, which I'm sure they're doing right now as well. I think they're going to probably have to spend another week cleaning up the balloons. I've never seen so many balloons of all shapes and sizes. And all I could think of, Steve, was what a Secret Service nightmare, because they were popping the balloons.
Yeah,
so you're like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a great tweet. I have to say, you know, I think she looked fantastic. I love her outfit. I hate to say it.
Well, you've been saying she needs stunning. A wardrobe person for a year. So you're happy with her choice last night.
Great change with the white pants. I thought it was beautiful. I love the message of the night was stronger together. And truly, I mean, I was sitting with Roe and Jeff and Anna way, way, way up at the top of the arena. Maybe I think the second to the last row in the press booth, and deafening, deafening applause for Hillary Clinton. You know, there was applause, and again, it might be just a different arena too, where I was in Cleveland, but deafening applause and the chanting with Hillary, Hillary, and deal me in, and love Trump's hate. Such a different vibe. Different here.
There was a point where the Hillary, Hillary chant started when she was referencing the marriage, and it was a weird point for the chant to start, and I don't know why it started then. Did I miss something?
Yeah, here's what happened. When you're in the arena, there were a handful of Bernie Sanders supporters, and apparently they've been doing this all week. I don't understand what their motive is, and I don't know why they do it.
Oh, they were shouting down the Bernie people.
Yeah, they were shouting down the Bernie people. Every time the Bernie people, and they were in the California delegation, and there was a few on the other side of the arena, too, scattered. But they were wearing bright yellow shirts, and they were stupidly chanting, "No more war, no more war." I mean, right in the middle of a
kind
point
of
where
out
not
of context.
Even talking about the war. So every time, and I really give this crowd credit because I wondered if you guys knew at home what was going on, but every time they started "No more war," you had the entire arena going, "Hillary, Hillary."
Okay, well, that makes sense.
So when she started speaking about whatever she was speaking about, and they started with their "No more war," the crowd just drowned her out, and drowned them out, the Bernie supporters. And I think that's why it was so deafening.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I wondered why the chant started when it did. All right, more from you in a bit. Thanks for getting up and doing the Steve Cochran Show. I think it's a good break for you.
Yeah, and you know what? I have a couple of funny lines that we'll talk about throughout the day, too, that I think she really hit a home run with.
All right, stand by. More from Andrea.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
312, almost forgot the area code, 312-981-7200. Be Lou's First Call, and you can be a big winner. And let's get Lou on the radio here, live from Channel 9, I assume.
Good morning, sir. Yes.
Hi, buddy.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Did I see something on the Twitter that you got a comedy show coming up?
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that. 2 weeks from tonight, and it'll be in the Naperville, Aurora area.
Can I tell you something? I saw the pictures of the three of you, right? Who's going to be performing?
Toomey, DeCoss, and me. Mike Toomey from Channel 9.
So Mike Toomey, who doesn't appear to be in WGN today, because I'm looking right where his chair is right now. That picture of Mike Toomey, he is a handsome devil.
And we met him in person. The picture's not him. No, he's a very attractive man, without a doubt.
I mean, I was going to tell him this morning because I saw the thing on your Twitter post, and I thought, man, he is like a leading man good looking.
All right, settle down. I know it's Friday.
Well, I'm a little tired. I've had a hard travel week, and I'm just a little punchy.
By the way, it'll be a Bell Sal Banquets, and unfortunately, the timing is really unfortunate for Sandberg, the producer, because she's getting married that night.
I saw that as
well. Oh, you're going to be at the wedding?
No.
Sandberg, yeah. Did you invite Lou?
No. I did invite Lou.
Oh, she did? Oh, I haven't.
Yeah, because he's contributed to fixing our house with all his advice, so he's like part of the family now.
I'm like an uncle now.
That's
right.
Fantastic.
It's like your brother in the business. That's what you want. That's what I always wanted to be.
Yeah. I'm invited, too.
Oh, great. Well, maybe you guys could ride together.
So basically just Steve can't come. So
is DeCoss coming? DeCoss and Toomey?
Yeah, actually. DeCoss is going to open your show, and then he's heading out tonight.
Right. He's going to be there for now. There's a big trend, Steve. I don't know if you know this, but where they, you know, the young kids now, when they get married, they can only afford so much the sit down dinner type of thing.
I think though,
then they invite other people for drinks.
The cocktail,
afterwards.
Yep.
The cocktail.
Yep.
That's a big thing.
I think though, Sandberg's taking this invite Steve and he won't come thing too far. She forgot the part where she actually invites me.
I know. Well, the maybe it got lost in the mail.
Okay, the postal service.
I'm going to post a link to your show, though, on your Facebook page right now.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. And if there's a link to your wedding up there, make sure you take it down quickly. Belle Sal Banquets in Aurora. It'll be a fun night, 7:30, 2 weeks from tonight.
If I can tell you something funny, on the WGN website, the clip of you finding out that you can't go to my wedding because you already have some plans.
Oh, is it up there?
It's up there, and it's the most popular thing on the website. Here, there's conventions going on. You know, the First Lady was in town. Like, all sorts of real news, and Cochran not being able to attend Mary's wedding is the thing that's trending.
Well, why do people like my pain?
I don't know. But you know why? Because you've said this for years. All I want to be is invited.
Yeah.
I won't go.
No, just invite me. I mean, I will come to a couple of things, but I'm not likely to come to most things. So it's really safe to invite me. But you don't want the wrath of not inviting me.
Mary's wedding, that probably would be one of the things you'd go to.
I don't like her chance. Yeah. Somebody just texted, does Sandberg have a first name? No. It's 6:25.
Just too many Marys.
All right, so
where
first
does the name Mary, you know, and they always publish the 100 most popular baby names?
Yeah, it's Catholic. I thought you'd know that, being a Catholic.
I understand, but where does it rank in the 100 list in 2015?
Ooh, not high. I think it's not high anymore.
Not on the list.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Not on the list. Mary is one of the most, I love the name Mary.
Yeah, yeah. It's played out. It's over.
But it always has to go with something, you know, like Mary Margaret, Mary Ann, Mary Therese, Mary, like
Virgin Mary.
Nun type of thing.
Yeah,
Virgin Mary. Yeah. Start with the Virgin Mary. Yeah. Right. That's a popular one.
All right, so here we are going into August, and, you know, you're thinking about your house. You're thinking about, what do I need to get done?
Can I tell you, I have I know what you're going for. I have been traveling all week, and I got up early this morning. I went out to take a look at my yard because I got home late last night, and all this rain and water, the lawns, there's too much. So stop watering, A, and B, I'm worried if you haven't put any kind of grub treatment, which typically you do in June. You're going to be surprised that you're going to get grubs late this year. And so there are a few products that are immediate. They work within 24 hours. I believe one is by Bayer. And I want you to put that down. And then also, to keep that lawn green and healthy, one of my faves is a product called Milorganite, which is pelletized Milwaukee County sewage.
I was in a band called Pelletized Milwaukee County Sewage.
You were the bass player, right? So that you can use on your lawn. You can use it in your garden. You can't use too much of it. So don't worry if, I spilled some. It's all natural, and it will green up that lawn. Along with that, you can put down the grub stuff and the Milorganite concurrently, and stop watering. Like for a week, if you've been watering, if you have a sprinkler system, turn it off.
All right, Dave, are you making notes on this?
Because I am.
You live in the wilderness.
Yes.
You know, and you've got all sorts of
issues.
He's
got that buckthorn issue.
I have the buckthorn. I'm not even worried about the buckthorn.
He's got coyotes
right
in his yard.
I'm worried about the Milorganite, getting the Milorganite and holding off those grubs that are coming.
Right.
Yeah. Milorganite actually is a dinosaur.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's one of the dinosaurs.
Like Triceratops.
Yeah. All right, we'll get your first caller here in just a second. The other thing I think that people are wondering about is, you know, I put stuff off all summer. Is now a good time to do this or do that? And I'm getting my driveway done.
Oh, and like, redone completely or sealed?
It's up for debate. I'm either going to go concrete or I'm going to, you know, redo the asphalt. You have a thought on this, or should I go 50-50?
No. If you're gonna choose,
should I go chessboard?
If you're gonna choose between the two, the concrete costs a little bit more, but it's a better choice. But this is very important for anybody that's going to redo a concrete driveway.
Uh-huh.
You want to talk to the concrete installer to make sure that they pour the concrete wet. And wet, it means this. You're going to say, I want you to pour this thing wet in the truck. That's what you're going to say. Those are the key words. And they're going to be, Steve Cochran knows what that is, wet in the truck.
Right.
This is what happens. When they refinish the concrete, they want to get it to a certain consistency.
Sure.
So literally when they leave, if a kid were to walk across it, they wouldn't fall inside. But when the concrete starts to dry like that, they add water to it so they can get it nice and smooth on the top. And that weakens the top layer, or what's called the cream. if you have them mix it wet in the truck, they can still form it up and it'll still look good. But you worry if a kid came by, his foot would go through there like it's an episode of the Three Stooges.
Right.
So you take the afternoon off, you get a lawn chair and a long stick, and you turn on WGN radio, and you sit out there and you listen to the radio, and you just sit there. And if a kid comes by, you hit him with the stick.
But not hard. Just a little.
Just send
a message. A little
get
tap.
Away. Get away. And then in a couple of hours, you take a hose and you lightly spray it. You want to slow down the curing process.
Okay.
And that makes the concrete harder and less susceptible to cracking and spalling, which happens when concrete dries too quickly. People that will call me and say, oh, I just had this driveway done, and now it's got all these pock marks. It's because they added too much water during the finishing process and weakened the top cream. I used to be a concrete finisher.
Shouldn't they know this? Shouldn't the concrete people know this?
Well, they do know this.
But they're worried about getting to their next job. Yeah, there you go.
Right.
All right. So
what are you going to say?
I want my concrete wet in the truck, Lou.
Right.
That's all I want.
Sit out here with the radio on with a stick.
And I'll smack you with a stick while I'm listening to Rokon. Lord knows when I listen to Ro, I want to hit something with a stick.
Exactly.
All right, Karen's the first caller. And Karen, what do you have for Lou?
Hi, Lou. I have a question. I just moved into a two-home that has a sunroom attached to it, and it's exposed brick in the sunroom. And the mortar or whatever, it's never been exposed to the elements. The mortar keeps falling, like causing that dust. Is there something I could use to seal that brick to stop the mortar from?
Is the mortar coming out, or is it just dusty?
It's just dusty. It's just like a dusty fine dust.
Okay. Sure. What you could do, if it's just one wall, and this is probably the only time I would ever tell you to use this product, is Thompson's Water Seal is a clear sealer that on a vertical surface like that would work great. The thing is, if you applied it to all of the brick might take on a little bit of a shine, so I don't know if you want that. If you don't, take the Thompson's, put it in a little container and a brush, and just use a brush to brush it on the mortar only, and that will help seal in any particulates on the mortar, and it won't give you a little bit of a sheen on the brick. You can test it in the lower spot and see. You know, just brush some on, let it dry in a couple hours, and if that look doesn't bother you, then roll it on the whole thing, and it'll go much quicker.
And by the way, Karen, for being the first caller, you get the April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, he tried to say.
Round trip.
Allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60 Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC, 855-955-HVAC. The other thing I learned about the whole driveway thing is August is the biggest month.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. I figured people would be doing it all summer long, but it seems August and September is when everybody goes, oh, my God, I didn't do the driveway yet.
I have to get this done. Call. Yeah, it's a tough time.
Nice talking to you. Lou, go do some TV.
I love you.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
All right, that's Lou Manfredini. And I love him as well, just to be clear. Lou Manfredini.
We didn't doubt that.
Yeah, he will be on the radio tomorrow, 7 a.m. with the Mr. Fix-It Show. American Weathermakers, home of the 60 Minute Men, 855-955-HVAC. Thank you to them. And back with a big story next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
And Bill, that conversation we started in the law library 45 years ago, it is still going strong. You know, that conversation has lasted through good times that filled us with joy and hard times that tested us. And I've even gotten a few words in along the way.
Oh, this is awkward.
6:43, Jason DeSanto, friend of the program, Northwestern professor, Olympic decathlete, joins us now.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning. Let's start with Hillary and... You analyze political speech every day. What did you think?
I thought that was a real solid speech. I thought the delivery of it was pretty straightforward. The best part in terms of the delivery was probably the national security section, where she slowed down, got a little softer, and was really pointed. And I thought the structure of that section was the highlight. And overall, I thought, as a matter of message contrast with her opponent,
yep,
it was a really well-done speech on message with the entirety of the week. Strong on national security, good with middle-class voters, probably made some inroads with disaffected Republicans, and probably, progressives.
Do you benefit from going second because you can react to who goes first?
I think you do. There's no substitute for just simply having a well-planned convention, but to be able to go second allows you to respond, take things into account, and also to respond directly and in ways that open up entire lines of argument.
So what happens, like, so the Republicans end last Thursday night. The Democrats who planned this, the choreographers, by the way, the Temptations did all the choreography, the original Temptations from Motown. Did they get in a room and they go, okay, we got to change this, we got to change that, or do they stick to the plan and get lucky?
I think if you're doing it right, you have a strategy which has been somewhat baked in for a while in terms of the contrast you want to set up with your opponent, how to issue those frames for the election, who you want to speak to support that, but you got to be nimble. And so if they come off Thursday night, there's a room full of people there drafting speeches. They're there to execute the strategy, but above them are an array of pollsters, strategists, who are responding to what's happening and trying to fold it into an overall argument.
There is some question this morning about Chelsea and Chelsea Clinton's introduction to her mother. It was interesting, the juxtaposition of how it played on the radio versus TV, because I watched it on TV, and then I heard the highlights this morning coming in. Her pace was really slow.
Yes.
Really slow.
Yes.
But on TV, it worked, in my opinion. Okay. It was fine. On the radio, it sounded a little weird.
Okay.
What was your gut feel on it?
I watched it on television. I thought it was a measured success.
Uh-huh.
Her pace was, I mean, quite literally, was measured. And it was sort of a pace that was probably a little too slow and an affect that was a little blank. It's good for speakers to vary the pace. Now, most of the time, that means we're coaching speakers to slow down because the natural tendency of people is to speed up when they're in these environments.
Yeah, if you're nervous, sure.
They're nervous, and they're also not going to connect. So most of the time, it's, hey, you need to slow up. But it's not just to slow up. It's also to be able to vary the pace so that people can catch up a little bit and can
get
comfortable.
And frankly, some parts of the speech are more important than others.
That's right.
You got to emphasize. You got to de-emphasize.
Yeah, there's no mystery in this.
Yeah.
For her, it would have been, I think, in some places, speed up a little bit. And because that would have given listeners something a little bit different. And also, there was almost a lack of engagement, I think, in part of it for her, which then translates to us as an audience. I thought the speech itself was terrific.
So did I.
And it was a real contrast with some of the speeches we heard last week that were designed to validate Donald Trump. There's a difference, Steve, between showing and telling. If you're telling as a communicator, you're saying, so-and-so is a great person. You should trust this person. They're wonderful. But the difference in even just the smallest story, the smallest picture that you can paint, creates an emotional connection with people that are watching. And she had those last night. Just those very small glimpses of those little episodes.
Little stuff.
Yeah, where her mom...
sitting around looking at clouds.
Exactly.
Every parent has done that with their kid at some point.
Left
her yard, look up at clouds.
Yeah.
Notes for everything.
Yeah, left her notes when she was traveling abroad. That stuff registers.
Sure.
And here's somebody who's been in the public eye for 40 years, 30 years. And so the riddle is, how can we not know somebody who's so well known?
Right.
It's those details that make it more possible.
Yeah, and she becomes less of the robot in the pantsuit this week. I think the interesting challenge leaving Philadelphia is going to be that she doesn't fall right back into the robot in the pantsuit, and she's able to take some of this humanization and actually bring it out to where she's campaigning. I don't know if she does. If she got that skill.
I thought there was a little backsliding last night in terms of her connection from some of the speeches she did in June. The night she won, June 7th, she gave a speech that evening which was really a connecting speech about the struggle of women and how she was the next in the line. And it wasn't grandiose in that way. It actually was quite matter-of-fact, and I thought very affecting and effective. Last night at the beginning, probably because of the adrenaline, probably because of the size of the room, the rush of it all, I felt like there wasn't really that human connection in terms of the delivery. And really, for a good deliverer of a speech, you have to have conviction and connection. We have to feel like you really believe it,
right?
And we have to feel like you care about us. And I thought both those things were there, but the human element, the connective element, wasn't quite as strong. And that's why I said when the national security section of that speech came in, which is not an area you would think of as being of human dimension.
Yeah.
I mean, it's of geopolitical dimension.
But she actually connected.
She did connect. And it was, there were some lines in there, particularly the line where she said, Donald Trump says he knows more than the generals about ISIS. And she just like,
no, you don't.
Right. Yeah. That was good.
It was good.
It was direct.
And I want to ask you about the Khan family, because that was an amazing moment last night when we come back. But have you ever seen Bill Clinton look happier? I wondered if Bill Clinton was in for the ride. He looked like he was at the circus and somebody was bringing him a pony and he was just clapping and happy and giggling.
I commented at the time, his mouth was agape. I've never seen that expression on his face. I've just never seen
it. It was a little
that.
Odd. It was goofy and happy. And,
yeah. Yeah, it was a look of wonderment almost.
And there was a point in the video, and these are little nuancey things, right? And there's a point in the video, and, you know, look, the BS meter with the Clintons is pretty strong most of the time. But there's a point in the video where Bill Clinton, in the introduction, where Bill Clinton says, this isn't exactly what we were going to plan to do with the golden years of our lives, but she felt that she wanted to do this, and I support her, whatever the language was. But again, a little interesting, maybe it's true, background, backstage moment.
Yes, and those videos can be very impactful. That one was, and what it raised in my mind was how important it is to get them as close to the speech as possible, and the missed opportunity 4 years ago when there was an amazing Mitt Romney video about his life that got knocked out of that position because they were going to have Clint Eastwood.
Yep.
Come on.
Talk to a chair.
Message discipline.
Talk to a chair. That's exactly right. Of course, if Morgan Freeman's narrating your video, and now he went out to put the garbage at the end of the driveway. I mean, come on. You'll listen to that all day.
Hillary Clinton crawled through a tunnel of Ken Starr and came out clean on the other side.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman could just make anything more interesting and does. Mary, why don't you do some traffic here and then we'll come back and talk more to Jason DeSanto.
Donald Trump consistently smears the character of Muslims. Donald Trump, you're asking Americans to trust you with their future. Let me ask you, have you even read the United States Constitution? I will gladly lend you my copy.
That's Khazir Khan, the father, offering to lend his copy of the Declaration of Independence that apparently he carries around with him. Because those who know the truth. The truth is the radical, small, tiny bit of the Islamic fundamentalist knuckleheads ruin it for everybody else. And while we could argue all day about whether or not Islamic leaders speak out enough, this guy brought the house down last night. His kid died in service to America.
He did. And what that story demonstrates is, number one, the power of stories, the power of non-political stories, non-politician stories, and the power of stories that actually indicate what wins and loses elections because it influences people to make choices. And those are values, values that we share. It's not issues per se. It's those emotional values that we're attached to. And when you're putting a convention together, you want to create a contrast with the other side on the values that are important to key voter groups, if not the country at large. If you think about this past week, what the Democrats were able to do was really make a strong argument on security, on patriotism, and on progress. And that story right there combined those three things. Donald Trump isn't an able person to protect the country. Donald Trump doesn't really understand the country. And Donald Trump is a step backwards in terms of social progress and tolerance and understanding. So that story contained all those elements, but it doesn't work unless it comes from a real person. Now, the other word that he mentioned there was trust. And that's the overriding paradigm and value for this election. That's where both candidates have the most work to do. And that's the one that I think we don't have a clear answer to coming out of these 2 weeks.
No, because when you break down trust the way that Hillary has and the way Trump has built a remarkable amount of distrust in a short amount of time as a national candidate. But when you have somebody stand up, and Arian Khan lost his life in service to this country, and his dad stood up and talked about him because he's American. He's an American. He's an American who fought for this country, who fought for the same freedoms the rest of us fought for. It's not the Islam. It's the crazy It's that's the thing, and that's the message that needs to be out there. And that's not the message that Trump has laid out with things like, well, we're not letting another Muslim into the country.
Well, and it seems out of step with social progress. And one of the real effective components of Michelle Obama's speech on Monday was, in a very short amount of time, to again paint a picture, her daughters playing with their dogs on the White House lawn in a house built by slaves. That simple, what was that, half a sentence,
yeah,
is a picture that's created that speaks volumes about what the country is supposed to be about.
Right.
And how the opponent doesn't represent the best elements and the best values of that country. And that story last night did the same thing.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Every day that I spend as Charlotte and Aiden's mother, I think about my own mother. My wonderful, thoughtful, hilarious mother. My earliest memory is my mom picking me up after I'd fallen down, giving me a big hug, and reading me Goodnight Moon. Every single memory I have of my mom is that, regardless of what was happening in her life, she was always, always there for me.
Be a good test to see how you're doing as a parent. Make your kid today write you a convention introduction speech. And then make them give it to you this weekend.
Really?
What, hey, Dad, that? Before you get the hamburgers off the grill, my earliest memory. How do you think you do, Dave? You think you do okay?
I think I do okay. Would not be, although I certainly read Goodnight Moon over and over and over again. It would be a little...
To your kids or just to yourself?
But that's not really important. Little House on the Prairie. Every now, all those books with my daughter every night. Hopefully she would bring that up.
In Amy Cochran's case, it was Peter Pan. And I remember the book being like 60 pages. It wasn't one of these, you know, books where it was, four pages. The car goes down right. The hill, end of book, right?
Right. You get tired of turning.
But she knew the book completely word for word, so even though she was almost asleep, if I tried to skip a couple pages, No.
Nope.
And, of course, you'd start over.
Like so, yeah, the little engine that could, too. That was the other one.
Right.
I think I can. Oh, read that a lot.
So, again, assign that to your kids this weekend. They have to make a convention introduction speech for you. Eric Adelstein, how would you do?
I would do okay, although I read somebody wrote they're waiting for the first convention speaker from a kid to say, my parent was never there for me. Missed every game, every party because he was working for you. So, but I thought she did a nice job last night.
This week has been great because I, too, have finally met my mother.
Right.
Yeah. You don't want that.
No, that wouldn't be good.
Eric Adelstein, AL Media, our friend. And Eric, I got to say, the Democrats kicked the Republicans' butts in the convention race. So what do you do with the momentum now?
Well, you keep it going. You know, they took a play out of the 1992 playbook, and they're hitting the bus trail. If people remember, who are old enough, Steve, like you and I are old enough, that the old Clinton-Gore bus tour that went around
the country. Oh, the Clintons love the bus.
They love the bus. It was actually the first time I ever met Hillary Clinton, because I was running the state of Illinois, and the bus came to Vandalia, Illinois, about 5 hours late, and there was a huge crowd. And she couldn't have been lovelier. And there looks like they're doing that again and taking this show on the road. You know, I think one of the keys on why this convention was so much more successful than last week is last week's convention was about loving Trump. And this one was about loving America.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Think, you know, and I think it had a little something for everybody, right? I think there was a toughness to it. I think there was a progressive side to it. There was personal stories. There was a bit of celebrity sizzle. There was humor. And it was run great. And it was real, too. You know, you had a little bit of protest from the Sanders people, so it wasn't so choreographed that it seemed kind of, sort of stale and just packaged. It seemed real, and I think they pulled it off. They should be congratulated.
Andrea pointed out, because she was there in the room with Roe and Anna, that when the Hillary chant, because if you know, were wondering like I was, the Hillary chants were kind of out of context in a couple of cases. And that's because they had just sort of had a collective effort to drown out the No More War Bernie people, who were really out of context.
Right.
So for those people watching last night, are going, well, why'd they chant Hillary there? That's why.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, I think that was probably a smart strategy by the Clinton whips on the floor to say, when we hear this, when we see this, let's get our delegations chanting Hillary. It was probably less spontaneous than people think. And there were probably less people chanting the Sanders stuff than folks in the hall even thought. So, but like you said, I was watching on TV and it certainly read okay to me.
So she reaches out to Bernie Sanders, who she needs Bernie's people, and they're not all coming over, but certainly she needs most of them. So she reaches out to Bernie Sanders, and they do a cutaway to Bernie, and he looks just as cranky as if his soup was late, wasn't delivered at the diner. Is he going to be bitter? Is he going to be on board, or is that just Bernie's face?
I think that's Bernie's happy resting face. So, look, I think it's telling that he's in the room for that speech. I think it would be more of a story if he split town, sort of said, okay, I did the minimum, I endorsed
right.
her,
right.
I didn't have a thing, I'm out of here. But, you know, he sat there, he listened, he was part of Democratic unity. I just think the symbolism of him being there is huge and a huge message to his supporters. And look, it was a highly contested, bitter race in some ways. I think it takes time to get over that. But I think he was a champion this week. I think he did everything the Clinton people asked him to. It seems sincere. You know, there's something unbelievably focusing about staring at a situation where Donald Trump might be the president of the United States. And so I think that makes everyone behave like adults.
Now, there are, as you know, because you have friends, I have friends that are ardent Trump supporters. And yes, Eric, you do have some. It might take you longer to think of yours. But the fact of the matter is, these are good people. These are good people who maybe aren't knee deep in it yet, or maybe haven't looked at it as hard as we do all the time here because it's the job. But did Hillary and the Democrats this week reach out to those people to say, you know, give us a look? Don't just blindly follow. I guess my question is, was there too much bashing Donald versus recognizing that people should be upset?
I don't think so. I felt like it struck the right balance. I mean, any convention, you want to have your positive message, but you also have to make the contrast. Every election is a choice. And I think, you know, we talked about this on the air a little earlier, a couple days ago. We Democrats kind of flipped the switch here and made this convention kind of patriotism, about love of country, about America. And the Trump one was very narrow and, as people have said, dark, but really just appealing to a base constituency. I don't think they did a very good job at all of reaching beyond this kind of hardcore Trump supporter, whereas you had Bloomberg speaking, you had, you know, this retired four-star general giving an incredibly forceful, patriotic speech about America's role in the world and how Trump doesn't understand it. And then, as you touched on, the Khan family, you know, that's American tapestry right there. Somebody from a religion that people don't necessarily understand, with a son who made the ultimate sacrifice in the Marine Corps to save other American soldiers. I mean, that's this country. We saw so little of that at the Republican convention. And so to that extent, I think it's a triumph of the Democratic Party this week reaching out to a broader constituency, whether it's an anti-Trump vote or a, hey, these guys do have a big tent and it does go beyond just a progressive, you know, liberal constituency.
And lastly, were you surprised that Joni showed up to say she doesn't love Chachi anymore?
It was unbelievable.
It was a shock.
I thought we were going to see Richie Cunningham and Fonzie, but apparently they were busy doing other things.
Yeah, they were working the phones. Eric Adelstein, AL Media, thanks for all the extra check-ins this week. Appreciate it very much.
Happy to do it. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, man. Eric Adelstein. Nice job by him, as always. For those of you who listen to the show every day and listen to Row in the Afternoon every day, it's sort of a Pavlovian experience, right? You hear this theme, you go, holy crap, what time is it? It's not 3. It's 7:26 in the morning. And Ro Khan is stressed out trying to get to the airport in Philadelphia to come home. Good morning, Ro.
Good morning, Steve.
How's things? Is the flight on time?
We actually don't know. We're on our way to the airport at the moment. Mm-hmm. We're wheeling our way, and I'm in the back of the limousine. I'm here with Bill and Hills.
Yeah, of course you are.
And Joe Biden is sitting in that little jump seat across from us,
yelling at you.
Back at me. He's got the thing where he goes real low. Like, I just want to say one thing, and then he comes real high, and then goes real low again.
What do you think of Chelsea?
She took a different limo, and I think there's a reason.
No, not this morning. What do you think of Chelsea last night?
Oh, you know what? She's not Ivanka, but it was solid. I mean, that was the whole thing about last night. Totally solid. The room didn't really light up like it had for the president the night before, or even Joe Biden the night before. So it was a workmanlike performance. I'll tell you what was interesting. She did not. They clearly worked with her on making sure that she's not too high and not too shrieky and not too kind of yelling at you.
Right. Yeah. Or she's heard us just constantly saying, stop yelling about her mother. And she went, okay, I won't yell.
Right. Yeah. Whatever it is, they found a way. There's a couple times she went high. Because, you know, in a room like that, you definitely want to exhort people to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you and enhance the passion of the moment. But they were very careful to make sure that it didn't come across as you know, because they know that that's a very considerable criticism of her.
Well, I tell you, though, I would love to, you know, and I assigned this to kids or to parents this weekend. Have your kids do a convention introduction speech to you and see what they really think of you, because your daughter should do it. My son and daughter. And let's find out what they really think of us this weekend. And by the way, have your daughter give it to you like right before dinner or something, right? Like, you go out to a nice dinner and you make her stand up and do her convention introduction speech to you.
Yes, that's a very good idea. I quite honestly, I thought that, you know, it's always a lovely moment when a child introduces. And it was, even for Trump, I mean, even for that guy.
Yeah.
I thought it was a lovely moment. But, you know, and I believe that Chelsea was being honest about it. I thought it was kind of cool that that Hillary went a little close to the third rail there.
Yeah, she brought up 1998 without saying it.
Yeah, I'm sure it did 94, right? And then it was like, wait, here we go. And then it was like, we had some rough times. Yeah, look at him, look at that guy right there. She is talking about me. And then boom.
Have you ever seen? And I don't know if maybe he had a couple of wine coolers. Have you ever seen Bill Clinton look happier? He's clapping like a seal. He's you know, he's giggling. He looks like he's three sheets to the wind. I mean, he was having a time of his life.
Yeah. He does look because this gets him off the hook. That's why.
Right.
It's the one thing, because you know for sure in 1998 or 90, whatever he had to come clean to her.
Yeah.
All right, I did it. Okay.
91, 92, 93, 94, 95.
Right. I promise you, you'll be president of the United States. You know, so then now all of a sudden, you know, she is, and it's like, I did it.
My long national nightmare's over.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, even though he had nothing to do with it. I mean, you know, she rose to this moment in spite of him, and that's a pretty special deal. Hey, by the way, I met your friend Gary Johnson yesterday, the libertarian.
Did you guys have him
on our show?
Oh, good.
Yeah, and he walked through, and it was interesting because he came to, you know, be the turd in the punch bowl at the Democratic convention.
Right.
But he's a very polite turd, though, which is nice.
Was he wearing the Miami Vice like ice blue little T-shirt and jacket combo that he wears?
He was wearing a jacket and T-shirt sort of thing. He's kind of it's a very interesting thing. I don't think he's particularly dynamic. We have Mark McKinn, the guy that does the circus for Showtime with us. And it was really a cool moment because Mark was like, hey, you know, we've been trying to get you on the show forever. Let's do something. So when you see them on the circus in the next 2 weeks. Yeah, it was us. It was WGN right there. That's what happened.
Well, that's the thing. I told those guys when they were in here, you got to fire your communications people and hire someone that goes that actually books you places, because we it took us 3 months to get them on, and they are far and away qualified to do it. But there's a William Weld piece to this, the former governor of Massachusetts, who's sitting there and he's fighting, not jumping in at every second. and Gary Johnson sort of idolizes William Weld, and there's a weirdness there. So I'm going to sit down and talk with him because I endorse them.
Well, I will tell you this. You know what they need to do? And I talked to a political maverick yesterday about them who said that what we really have to do here is do the reverse the ticket. If William Weld were at the top of that ticket,
yeah,
that would be a formidable ticket.
Right.
People would. But you know, here's my problem, Steve, is I don't – you and I agree that Donald Trump is going to lead us – he's going to lead me to a gulag. I am going – I don't know how many work camps he's going to set up around the country, but I know that I'm going to be among the first people in it. You're probably going to be right behind me.
Oh, yeah, you and I and Brady. You and I and Pat Brady, we're all done.
Right. We're going to get one potato for the entire month of December. Hold on to it. That's going to be what it's going to be like. So it's going to be ugly. I almost fear that a third party like that actually helps him, because there'll be a lot of people who go, I can't vote for Hillary. There are a lot of moderate Republicans who watched that last night and saw Hillary promising the same raft of things that funny enough, that Donald Trump did too, but that most Democrats did. And they're like, oh, you're not going to be able to pay for that. You're not going to be able to do that. This is the same old, same old. You got the emails, you got this, you got the Benghazi, you got that. I don't know if I can actually do it. And so, the reality is that a third party does not necessarily ensure that Trump doesn't win.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. All right, get to the airport. Are you on the air today at 3?
We theoretically are. There's some weather here in Philadelphia, and I don't know what's going to happen. What's the weather? Hey, I don't listen to the radio. What's the weather like in Chicago?
We're going to be fine with some scattered thunderstorms. You'll probably get a delay, but you're out early enough where I think you'll be back. However, as always, I will stand by in my sleeping pod waiting for the call up if I'm needed.
Okay, right. Don't answer the phone.
Yeah, no, listen, if you hear me at 3 o'clock today, you'll know something desperately wrong. That's Rokan, scheduled to appear at 3 o'clock. Let's come back, get the big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
He's the worst quarterback that has played in the NFL the last 5 years.
Period.
Loser. And that's embarrassing. We look like losers.
And they weren't ready. Weren't ready.
He went from all Sean to some Sean to no Sean in about a month here. If you're not going to help us, get out of the damn way.
Period.
It's almost like he's paralyzed by indecision. And folks,
I got a better word for it, Danny. I'm about to be possible this kid takes scared to death pill.
It's football season.
What?
It's that, August.
It's not just rehearsal.
It won't be long before Camp and OB and Little Cos 2 will be lighting up your Sundays on 720 WGN. Let's go live to the Hall of Famer now, Dan Hampton. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, that had to sound almost like music to your ears after some of the screeching we heard last night. But I digress. Let me just say this. I haven't seen OB in about 3 weeks, and just hearing his voice makes me happy.
Makes me happy. It makes me. You know what I like when OB goes, I got another word for it, and his word is 9 words.
Taking scared to death pills. 1, 2, 3. Hey. You know, the great philosopher Willie Nelson said, the last thing I needed, the first thing this morning. And, I was down in Bourbonnais last night, and we were doing a roundtable. And I got to tell you, for a team that is really, you know, looking, you know, at the silver lining, and, hey, we're going to be better than people think. We want to prove something. And the first practice, without pads, you lose your best player on the team, and your first-round draft pick has to leave because he's got a little tummy ache. It's not the greatest start, but just like you said, Steve, I'm ready for football.
So there's a conditioning element to this that, I feel like I always go back to, well, it's not how we did it in the old days, but there's a conditioning element to this that the new guys should be better at because they're bigger, they're faster, they have tips, tricks, tools, and technology and teams that you guys didn't have. So I don't know how guys come in, and I know it's football, but how do guys come in no contact situations and not be ready?
I don't know. I'm perplexed. You know, I read about this gal that is working with each player on their diet and specific foods and calorie quotients and this. Hey, back in the day, we were looking for a piece of pizza left in a box after a couple of days at lunch.
Right, nothing.
And I don't know. I don't want to say, you know, use the soft word yet, but I don't know. It's almost like we knew we had to come to camp ready to go. And if you didn't, not only would you be singled out by, you know, the coaching staff, but you let your team down. And I don't know if that same kind of feeling is there, because when you strip it away, okay, the guys are employed to play well and technically win games. But the whole thing is, it's about the team, and you're letting your buddy down if you are not prepared to go to training camp and run around for 2 hours without pulling some.
Well, in all fairness, now Kyle Long, who left practice with what was said to be a calf strain, did tweet out last night that he's fine, appreciates all the kind words, and it's a minor speed bump. And Leonard Floyd, the first-round pick, got sick, but apparently he was already sick, and he's going to be back out there when they practice later on this morning. But if you go around the NFL, Dan, it always seems like I remember Brian Urlacher, I think it was maybe the first practice a number of years ago, pulled a hamstring and he missed time. It just seems like you go around the league and the first couple days of practice and nobody has really separated themselves yet. The position battles haven't really heated up. And so what's the storyline? The storyline usually is the health of the team, and that's why maybe these things get a little bit more magnified.
More than likely, everything will shake into place and it'll be okay. But I hate that it has to kind of detract from the overarching theme of this training camp, which is, hey, I did not realize this, but December 28th, 2014, the Bears have played 16 games since that date. And they've only got 5 guys that will start on paper right now that was on the field as starters just 16 games ago. So Ryan Pace has done a major transformation of this football team. And in my estimation, much better. And, you know, we'll talk more as we go into the training camp and in the preseason about the front 7 of the defense possibly could be, you know, a top 10 unit and, you know, the strength of this football team. But there's going to be some great battles at tight end for the backup position, at running back, at safety. The outside linebacker position is going to be up for grabs with Pernell McPhee now on the PUP list. So there's going to be a lot of really interesting battles. And I hope these little ticky-tack injury things, you know, kind of wane, because hey, come on, it's football. It's time to get ready and be able to complete a practice.
That's the one. Even more so than the injuries yesterday, the McPhee injury, that I think, even though they're just being careful with him, how much of a setback would it be if he's not ready to go?
Well, the one thing is, and you know, having been in that exact position, coming back from knee surgery in the off season, playing that position, I'm not worried about it that much. And you know, the guy really, he was a trooper last year. He played, you know, with a pretty damaged knee, and he was still reasonably effective. He knows how to play. He'll be ready to go. I'm not worried about him. In the abstract, it kind of gives other guys more opportunity. Well, we can see this first-round draft pick, Floyd, and of course Willie Young, who was coming back from Achilles last year, he'll be healthy going in. Lamar Houston. So it doesn't bother me as much as it may have would, you know, other players. But Pernell McPhee, right now, he's our best player on defense, and I'm not worried. I really feel confident he'll be ready to go.
How's your golf game?
It's getting a little better, but you know, the one part about it is, it's hard to get money out of Kaz. I mean, if you win, it's you got to chase him around, and I can't run no more. So,
yeah, but he can't either.
It gets troublesome.
I have to say though, Hamp, you've done well, and you know, you're a smart guy. Maybe hire someone to run for you. Just thinking. I mean, I'm thinking of you. That's all. You know that.
That's all. Well, the other thing is put a deposit down before we tee off, right?
That's it. You know what? That's it. Have a guy with named Escrow that follows you around who handles it. That's it. Escrow would be a good name for a caddy. Hey, Escrow, you got my money? It's Dan.
Either that or Moose or Rocco. Hey, go collect from the judge.
Escrow, Moose, Rocco, Kaz, and Hamp. How about that group? Chevy, ChevyDriveChicago.com, sponsored by your ChevyDriveChicago.com local Chevy dealer for good. $7.55 back to Philadelphia. Andrea Darlis and a child voter. What do you have for us?
Well, I went to the Liberty Bell yesterday. Actually, my walking tour was cut a little short because the heavens opened up, and I found out it's not always sunny in Philadelphia, so mm-hmm. it started to rain. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, the Liberty Bell was inside, so I went in, and there's a group of students waiting in line to go see the Liberty Bell and learn the history. So I started talking to them, and I was asking different people who they're voting for, which, interestingly enough, Steve, I thought I would find, of course, because we're in Philly for the DNC, people would go Hillary, 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 or Bernie, Bernie, Bernie. So many, especially the younger people, said, well, I'm not sure at this point right now. And so I talked to this 16-year-old voter. And again, she was a 16-year-old from Atlanta, Georgia. She's not a voter. She's 16 years old. She can't vote. But she explained why she was at the convention.
I think it's definitely cool to see because it's definitely a historic election. Two very interesting candidates, and it's definitely cool to be able to be here and experience it while all that's going on.
Are you able to vote?
No, I'm not able to vote. I'm only 16.
Okay,
but I do take history and I'm very involved in it.
And when you do get to vote, you're going to?
Definitely.
Why is it so important?
I don't know. I'm a part of a program right now working with Chinese students, and I suppose that their type of government inspires me to realize that we have it so, you know, such a democracy here, and that you should take advantage of the opportunity that you have, that, you know, your opinion matters, and that, you know, you have the right to elect your officer, you know, the people who serve in office, and you should take advantage of that.
I love that kid.
I thought that was really cool. So she was not only with a group of Chinese students, but learning the process and wanted to be there with her friends in this class, even though they couldn't vote. And I thought that was really, really telling and kind of a good sign for the younger generation.
Did you get any souvenirs when you were at the Liberty Bell?
No, it was pouring rain. I didn't get any souvenirs there. But you know what? I noticed at this convention, as opposed to Cleveland, everything sold out. People were texting and emailing, can you get me a pin or a button or something like that? Oh my gosh, everything. They didn't have any Hillary golf towels, so I don't know what I'm going to get you.
What?
I'm going to have to go to the flash sale in front of the hotel because everything at the convention sold
out. Everything must go. It's Friday. By the way, we feel badly about this, but we think Lou Manfredini is still banned from Philadelphia, Dave. When Lou Manfredini was visiting, he saw the crack in the Liberty Bell and he fixed it because it's Mr. Fix It.
Right.
And, you know, you're supposed to leave that alone.
No.
Yeah, you probably didn't.
But I did learn why the crack is there. You all know.
Do we know? Yeah, of course we know. Why don't you tell everybody else, though? We know.
Right, of course. Well, it was cracked when it was being delivered
right.
or actually put up. And one of the founding fathers, they won't say who, tried to repair the crack with a hammer. I don't know why you think you repair crack with a hammer, but cracked it even further.
Made it worse.
Made it worse, yeah.
I think it was Hamilton. The guy got so much trouble. I should do a musical about him. That's Andrea. She's live in Philly. More to come from her. A couple of minutes before 8 in the news is next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
8:12, Dean Richards joins us. Well, we got a lot to do.
What are we doing?
Heavy list today.
Really?
Lots of things going on.
I should have read this list.
So let's waste some time and play. Is it a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in?
It's my favorite game.
312-981-7200. Dean and I will play. If you are any of the callers that Jake takes, you'll win. The Weasels. Is that a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in?
That is a band that you were in slash management team you've worked for.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We were going to call them the Sam Zells, but it turned out he would have sued us.
That would not be right.
How about Gas Pains?
That also was a band you were in.
That's exactly right. You're very good at this. You really are. I mean, you seem to have a skill here. This one's a little tricky, though. Worst prom ever.
That, I believe, is a Lollapalooza band.
That's also a band I was in. Worst prom ever. And here's the weird thing. Never played a prom. Never played a prom. Not even one. Not one prom gig. How about Flostradamus?
That is definitely a Lolla band.
The Greeting Committee?
Greeting Committee, I believe, is also a Lolla band.
Oh, you're good. You're very, very good. Here's one that
they
I
were
think...
bookends on yesterday's Lollapalooza. Greeting Committee was one of the first yesterday, and Flostradamus was one of the last yesterday.
Crackpot Luck Dinner.
Band you were in.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we actually never played. We just came up with a name.
Anything with crack in it, Steve was part of that.
Foghorn and the Leghorns?
That is a band you were in.
That's exactly right. Tilted MILF.
Lolla band.
No.
No.
That's incorrect. One more. Groupies Wanted.
Groupies Wanted, band you were in.
Yes, that's right. Very good. Dean's very good at this game. We'll play more before we run out of time.
I thought Tilted MILF was a Lolla band yesterday at this time.
Yeah, did they switch over?
Yeah, they changed it.
Oh, wait.
No, it's a band I was in.
They tilted.
Dean will be at Ravinia tonight doing what?
Because I just like to have a diverse appearance schedule. One day I like to hang out with 17-year-olds who are...
Who buried booze in Grant Park.
Yeah, drinking their first beer. To hanging out at Ravinia in Highland Park tonight for a show that's called Titanic Live. This is where they set up these giant screens throughout the grounds at Ravinia, and tonight they're going to be showing the movie Titanic, the 11-time Oscar winner, and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra will be playing the soundtrack live while the movie is showing, and it's quite spectacular. And much like Lollapalooza, the raucousness of a mosh pit, I'll be holding a pre-movie discussion right before the movie starts around 6 o'clock. I've got some fascinating Titanic fun facts that I'll be sharing and taking questions. They have this cool thing set up called the Twitter board. It's a giant screen.
Right.
And people can tweet questions that appear up on the Twitter board, and then I answer the questions from people. So if you're coming out tonight...
Actually, it sounds like it's fun.
It really is. It really is complete fun. But this is what I want listeners of the Steve Cochran Show to do. Ask super embarrassing questions about Steve, and then I can answer them live at Ravinia for
a good call.
Most of the North Shore to hear on the loudspeakers.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very good call for all of Highland Park. Kittens with Rabies.
Band you were in.
That's a band I was in. That's exactly right.
What triggers in your mind to make these up?
No, I'm not making these up. These are all bands. You know, Lolla yesterday got interrupted by some storms that blew through. How did the kids handle that?
The kids handled it just fine. The Office of Emergency Management for the city handled it great, but I mean, they were greatly concerned about it. They were. I've never seen the city officials so on edge as they were yesterday, rightly so, for trying to, keep everybody safe during the storm, some of which, I mean, there was lightning and there was thunder. There was some potential danger in the weather department. But literally, every time a siren went off, an ambulance went by, something, everybody jumped. Because, everybody wondered, what is it, something awful like we've seen in the news?
Sure.
And they are super prepared for every possible scenario for everything. They have these concrete, kind of half walls. They're called Jersey walls, set up at all of the entrances. And at first I thought it was just to, divert the foot traffic. And then I learned this was the first year that Lollapalooza has used these Jersey walls. It's to prevent cars from or trucks from smashing the gate and barreling into Lollapalooza like we saw happen in Nice, France. So they have thought of every possibility that they could of things that might happen. They have plans for everything. It's really something to consider. But, you know, the kids are there, and literally the like 90% of the people who are there between the ages of 18 and 24, it's a wild weekend out for most of them. I saw plenty of over imbibing on many different substances in the times that I was out there. I played Grumpy Old Man a couple of times yesterday, thinking to myself, where are your parents? Are really your parents? Do your parents know what you're doing today? Of course, they don't. We were all 18 to 24 at one time. But at one point, I was trying to get down some stairs, and these four, like, pretty... They looked like they were pretty drunky kids, blocking the stairs. So I waited, thinking that they would see that there was an elderly person behind them trying to get down the stairs.
Right.
They weren't moving. And, you know, one of them was, like, so completely out of it. The three of them left their completely out of it friends on this long, steep stairway that was,
bizarre.
Like concrete. So that's when Grumpy Old Man had to speak up. And I said, seriously, you're going to leave your friend who can barely walk and is about to fall down these stairs? You're just going to leave her here? Really? That's not cool, trying to use the lingo of the kids.
Did you guilt them into doing the right thing?
Trying to speak in the language.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, you cats, that's not cool.
You got Rosetta Stone for teenagers.
To leave your compatriot in the stairwell here where she's about to crack her skull.
Well, did they do the right thing?
They looked at me like, okay, Grandpa, settle down. And then they came up literally begrudgingly and helped their friend down the stairs and moved out of the way.
She might throw up on me, man. I can't have that.
They were all on their phones. They left their friends. They left their friend who was looked to be completely drunk to me on the stairs. They're all looking at their phones, texting, doing, whatever.
Looking for Pokemon.
There was a point yesterday where I was standing in the lobby and somebody said, hey, man, there's a Pokemon on you.
God.
So
God help us.
I pulled my pants up to my neck and
said, stop looking at my Pokemon.
Are you kids, you?
Hey, by the way, would you like a Jersey Wall fun fact?
Oh, I would love a Jersey Wall fun fact.
Did you know the height of the Jersey Wall is the exact same height as Snooki from Jersey Shore? A lot of people don't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that how they named it like that?
That's exactly right. I don't make stuff up. They were going to call it a Snooki Wall, and they didn't think it would be taken seriously.
Right. I could see where the people would make fun of that.
All right. We got to get to traffic. We'll come back. Dean's got some movies to review as well. My Cousin Larry.
Is that a movie that's open?
I thought you had a story about him.
My Cousin Larry.
I'm going to say Band Urine.
That's exactly right. Dean is flawless.
I'm picking up your pattern here.
Mike, Paul, Michael, Steve, and Regine. Hold on. You're all winners.
Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues at 8:25. Dean Richards live from Channel 9.
Hey, I've got one for you.
Yeah.
Grilled Mutton Chops.
Grilled Mutton Chops is a band I was in.
It was not. It's also not a band that played at Lollapalooza. It's something that they served as the last meal on the Titanic. That's just a sample of one of the interesting tidbits that I've got when I'm at the Titanic.
I do have to say, I don't think you understand the game. All right. All right, Dean at Ravinia tonight. All right, let's jump to the movie reviews in a second. But first, three very sweet people who have devoted their lives to Sesame Street were thrown out with Big Bird's trash yesterday. What happened here?
A sad day for Gordon, the science teacher, Bob, the music teacher, and Luis, the Mr. Fix-It man.
Isn't Bob the guy that was there when they started?
Yes. Has been there since the show started 45 years ago.
Right.
All actors who have played these characters on Sesame Street, all getting the axe yesterday, fired. Bob McGrath, Roscoe Orman, Emilio Delgado, fired from the show yesterday. Budget cuts.
Wow.
As usual. I don't know if they got fired outside the men's room door like you did.
No, I think that
that's a one in a million kind of thing. But
I got
still.
A patent on that.
But still,
it's too bad.
McGrath is 84 years old. Orman is 72. Delgado, 76. These costume characters that Really? You needed to let them go?
Yeah, you couldn't find something?
Couldn't find something for them to do on the show?
That's ridiculous.
That's sad.
Anything to do with HBO picking up the show?
Nobody is saying that directly. There are some changes as a result of it moving from PBS to HBO. I think it's more...
It's filthy now.
Who
you
is,
haven't seen it.
Who is, there's going to be a lot of swearing and nudity now.
Gunplay and Bert and Ernie just F-bombing their way all around the show. It's tough.
Yeah.
Tough to watch.
You're gonna learn some new words with alphabet letters that you've never thought that you would ever see on Sesame Street.
Elmo says, blow it out your butt! All right, we got to review some movies here, and by that I mean you. Bad Moms, any good?
You know what? I kind of liked it. Both of the movies this week are not award winners, but they're kind of fun. Bad Moms is Mila Kunis and Christina Applegate and Jada Pinkett Smith. A whole, you know, a list of, you know, very credible actresses. Catherine Hahn, among them.
And they're all terrible mothers in real life, is
they,
that right?
No, they are. I don't know about their real life mothering. I'm guessing they're all wonderful women and, you know, wonderful moms as well. But they play overworked, overstressed moms. They just get sick of it. You know, there's a lot of pressure in being the perfect mom all the time. And
I would think women could identify with this completely.
I'm guessing that that's what they're hoping for in this script. They decide to just chuck it. They go on sort of an all-girls hangover-like binge. This movie was written by the guys that wrote the Hangover movie, so you kind of get an idea of the kind of comedy that you're going to have here. It's silly. It's raw. At times, it tries to be a little bit sweet. I think it's more than just a little bit ironic that on the day that Hillary Clinton breaks the glass ceiling for women in politics, here we have women breaking bar stools, and you know,
it's kind of one step back, isn't it?
Timing.
I don't know.
It's all timing.
It's just all. It's a chance for the women to say we are just as dopey as you guys.
You know, there's a movie called Bad Dads that never came out. It was just an NBA highlight reel. Jason Bourne is that now? Please tell me this is good.
It's okay.
Ah,
it's okay.
Killing me.
It's okay. Again, not an award winner. But there is something that's so fun watching Matt Damon play this role. There are insane, crazy car chases and crashes in the movie. It's the basic storyline, the plot line is kind of about a sort of Snowden-like hacking that threatens the CIA. The CIA is headed in this movie by the always charming and always one of my favorites, Tommy Lee Jones. it's fun. It's action-filled. Paul Greengrass directs this movie. He directed a couple of the others with Matt Damon, and he brings a sense of excitement and a sense of fun to a film like very few other directors do. So I wound up liking the film. And don't go in, you know, thinking that it's going to, you know, change the whole world. Just go in and you will have a couple of hours of fun and excitement. I gave this one B+.
You want to go lightning round?
I'm ready to go.
Potty Mouth.
Lollapalooza Band.
Yes, generic.
Is that the band?
Yes, generic is the band.
Of today's segment.
Generic.
I'm going to say Band You Were In.
Horse Thief.
Band You Were In. Wow.
The Mothers.
Band You Were In.
Groin Pull.
That I know was a band you were in.
That's exactly right.
I was also in the band for a short time.
And the Mr. T Experience.
Is a band you were in.
It's neither. It actually is when Andrea runs into him in the gym since they both live in the same building.
I've
That's
got
the
one
Mr.
For
T
you.
Experience.
Salmon Mayonnaise.
Salmon Mayonnaise?
Yeah.
That's an accident.
That is another item that they served in the final meal. On Titanic. We're showing it tonight at Ravinia starting at 7 o'clock.
By the way, Dean is scheduled to spend a night at home in November, but not until then. Other than that, he's out every night of the week, entertaining. And
people are hoping that I don't make it home till then.
All right, buddy. Enjoy your weekend. Sunday on the radio, right?
Yes, exactly.
Sunday morning, 9 a.m.
You know what? I'm off, actually, this Sunday.
That's right.
I'm going to be talking with I'm going to be in New York, and it conflicts with the radio time, talking with the cast of Suicide Squad, which I'm super excited to see. So
Donald Trump filling in for you?
I believe that, we've got Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton doing, you know, like a co-hosting kind of thing.
That's
big. On Sunday. But I will be on today at 1 o'clock with Wendy Snyder.
Oh, all right. Well, you guys have fun.
Yeah.
See ya. 8:31. Big story next. 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Donald Trump can't even handle the rough and tumble of a presidential campaign. He loses his cool at the slightest provocation. When he's gotten a tough question from a reporter, when he's challenged in a debate, when he sees a protester at a rally. Imagine, if you dare, imagine him in the Oval Office facing a real crisis. A man you can bait with a tweet is not a man we can trust with nuclear weapons.
Crooked Hillary, fuck.
8:43, just back from Philadelphia, Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor. Been a guest on the program, rock star in Chicago politics, and always nice to talk to you, Bridget. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on. And your assessment of the week, positive, I assume?
You know, it was very positive. I'll tell you, you don't know what to expect when you walk into 4 days of meetings and speeches, but I think they portrayed a pretty clear vision of what they want to do going forward. And I think, you know, especially at the end between Hillary and Chelsea, it was really powerful. So they did great.
There's a gender-specific element to last night that, you know, I think needs to be addressed as well, and that is this is a really big deal for daughters, a really big deal for mothers, and I thought they played that really well.
I thought they played it well. First of all, as a mother, to watch Chelsea get up and talk about her mother and talk about Hillary. And look, Hillary isn't the type who talks and kind of talks about her emotional side all the time. And, you know, you could admire that, but politics kind of pushes you there. But Chelsea got up and talked about, you know, going on trips and going to museums and watching movies and how Hillary would leave her notes when she would travel for work. And, you know, as a working mother myself, I think, God, you know, you do all these things and are your kids going to remember and is it going to matter? And she did such a beautiful introduction of her mother. And then, you know, I thought the most powerful thing Chelsea said at the end was, you know, and if grandma were here, she'd be so proud of you. And you really got to see Hillary is not just someone who's super competent and smart and all of those things we know, but she's somebody's mother and she was somebody's daughter. And I thought, you know, I have two daughters myself. It was a really emotional moment. And I think a lot of people felt that.
You know, I don't know how Hillary came out and even opened the speech after she brings up her own mother. You know, maybe she saw Chelsea's speech ahead of time, but I would have been a basket case.
And, you know, but I think that, look, Hillary has made the comment that she said, I'm not good at trying out for the job, but I'm really good once I get there. And the way she talked, she told a story about her own mother, which I thought as a parent was so interesting. She said, you know, when I was young, we moved into a new neighborhood and I went outside and these kids were giving me a hard time and pushing me around and whatever. And so I ran back into my house and my mother literally blocked the door and said, there's no room for cowards in this house.
How about that?
Go out and figure this out, you know, figure out how you're going to handle it. And I thought, you know, we get talked into protecting our kids from so many things. And in a lot of ways, you need to push them to learn how to fight their battles. And then she talks about how she's going to fight battles for people who really need it. And I thought it all came off. And her kind of, one of the things she opened with was that quote by John Wesley that says, you know, do all the good you can for as long as you can for as many people as you can. And it was a pretty stark contrast between her and Donald Trump, I'll tell you that.
Well, it's interesting, too, and we haven't really addressed it, but when it comes to the debates, and there's only three of them scheduled, but when the presidential debates happen, the ratings will be huge. And we saw how Trump has spoken to and about women before. Mm-hmm. When they go head-to-head, it's going to be very interesting to see how people who aren't so engaged in this yet react to what could be real thuggery. Because I think that's Trump's way. Now, we'll see when time comes. But there was a little bit of controversy in the Illinois delegation this week. You were in those breakfasts and things.
Yep.
What was your take on that?
You know, I mean, about the governor?
Yeah.
I mean, because that was kind of a topic of conversation. Yeah. You know, I mean, look, you can't get a bunch of Democrats together and not talk about the fact that you have a Republican governor and he's got a really a set of strong opinions that most people in the Democratic Party don't agree with. So, and like all politicians do, you know, you're always looking to the future. And so I think that it's natural when you have a room that's filled with Dick Durbin and Mike Frerichs and Lisa Madigan, and potentially others who could, Andy Menar, who's a state senator from downstate, you know, those are all candidates who are, you know, potentially looking at this race, and they're all in the same place. And so, you know, when you're looking at them and you're talking about Rauner, it's not hard to kind of look and see, well, how would they stack up in a statewide election?
So there was, but there's a little bit of taking advantage of the media opportunity too, which is fine.
Sure.
But did Madigan speak to it all, as in Mike?
You won't be surprised. No.
What?
You know, I mean, you know, as they said, I think one of my favorite lines from Devil Wears Prada. Well, you know how it is. We got together, had Cosmos, and braided each other's hairs and talked about our secrets. I mean, no, that's not the way it rolls. And I think that, you know, there was a lot of speculation. There was a ton of media. I mean, that's the other thing. You get a bunch of politicians and a bunch of media in the same room together right. for 4 days in a row. I mean, you know, it's surprising it wasn't worse.
It's like a 4-year-old boy at a party at show-off time. And watch, exactly look what I can
right.
do now.
Exactly right. Right. Exactly right.
All right. So here's my question. Because I know Senator Durbin fairly well, and I'm a fan of Lisa Madigan. Lisa Madigan probably would have run for governor last time if her father had stepped aside. There's no reason to believe he will this time either. But if you had to pick one or the other that you think could be running against Rauner, who do you think will be there of those two?
You mean from a prediction standpoint?
Yeah. Yeah. Put on your Swami hat.
Yeah, you're right. I think either one of them is wildly competent. You know, I think that, you know, Durbin has had a long career. He has been absolutely right on all the issues that a lot of people care about. He's from downstate. And, you know, he's done a lot in the Senate. And I think that he can be incredibly effective in running in a statewide race and being governor. I feel the same about Lisa. You know, I mean, she has been... You know, she comes from a totally different perspective and different background, but whip smart and super hard worker. You know, if I had to guess more likely, I mean, who knows? You know, I've heard Durbin say more things about it, so I could go down that road. But I also think, you know, who knows? If the Democrats take back the Senate, maybe he stays. And you look at somebody, like I said, like an Andy Menar or a candidate that we haven't heard as much about in Chicago that can come and look to run statewide.
And what's your next step? And if you want to announce it right now, it'll save us the time of having to call
no,
you.
No, I got home at 2 and I was on a 5:45 a.m. flight, and now I'm at a all-day meeting for the Archdiocese. So I'm gonna not make any big bold moves right now.
What?
I think it's a wise thing.
But you'll call you'll call after your nap and you'll tell me then?
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay,
exactly
sure.
Right.
Hey, have a great weekend. Well, I really appreciate you jumping on.
Thanks for having me on.
See
you. Bye-bye.
BridgetGaynor.com. And a real, as Chuck Todd once said, rising star in national politics, not just Chicago. Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor. What are the Republicans going to do to get back in the front of the news cycle? What is Hillary Clinton going to do to keep the momentum going? We'll talk about that before we're done at 10. And Bill's off this week. It's Wendy and who at 10? I know Dean's in at 1. I've already forgotten.
Rick Hogan,
that's right.
1, 2, 3.
Three things.
It's Friday.
Nicely done. There's stories that don't fit anywhere else in the show. And I picked 3 of them. I came up with a name all by myself. You know what we call this? We call this 3 things. I hope you're having a good week. You're not having a good week as Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, or the Oracle founder. Here's what happened this week. Jeff Bezos for Amazon, record earnings for Amazon. Jeff Bezos' personal fortune on Wednesday went up $2.6 billion. Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook quarterly earnings bump, $3.4 billion. And Larry Ellison's having a pretty good week himself. He's the guy that started Oracle. He had a company that he owned, a small company, not doing a whole lot. That company was purchased by somebody else, which meant Larry Ellison just picked up a $3.5 billion cash bonus. And you thought you were having a good week. Norway is trying to come up with something for their neighbor, Finland. This is our second thing. Norway is trying to come up with a gift for their neighbor, Finland. Finland's 100th birthday. Is coming up, the 100th birthday. I thought Finland was older than that.
Yeah, you would think.
I do too, yeah.
What was Finland before that?
I don't know.
You know what Norway is going to give Finland for their birthday? A mountain. There's a mountain on the border of Norway and Finland that they're going to give to Finland for their birthday.
Not a fjord. Very nice. Not a fjord.
No, it's an actual mountain.
How are you going to wrap that?
Yeah, I got to wrap it and imagine if they want to take it back, right?
Is it Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon. Everything's Amazon. Yeah, in Norway's Amazon Prime. And finally, and this one's for Kevin Powell, who will join us next hour. Taco Bell has come up with a new idea for Cheetos. Didn't they do a Doritos taco or something? Am I making that up?
No, they did? I'm pretty sure they did.
Taco Bell now has decided they'll take one more snack food that'll kill you, and they're going to put it in the burrito.
A Cheeto?
A puffy Cheetos burrito.
Oh.
Where they're going to put puffy Cheetos in your burrito.
Now it'll be orange for sure.
And, you know, they have that fried puffy cheese thing, Cheetos thing at Burger King. It's from the same brilliant minds that brought it up. A website called Food Beast is reporting on the product that will be test marketed in Cincinnati. The new Cheetos burrito will sell for $1. You explain it to your cardiologist, and we're back after this on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands.
9:10, how about we recognize Chicago's finest live in studio before they start smacking each other around here. Joining us in the room for a special competition. It's coming up. And Dave, you know the fire and police get together two or three times a year to rough each other up. You know this, right?
So I've heard.
Yeah. It's highly entertaining. It's great. This is the Transamerica Chicago Triathlon and 100 Club of Chicago launching the 100 Club Challenge. Gentlemen, identify yourselves if you would, please. You are?
Good morning. I'm Scott Hootie Hootmacher. I'm the brand manager for Lifetime Triathlon.
And Scott, who are you hiding from with the name Hootie Hootmacher?
You know, the German name like Hootmacher, it's a little bit easier for all of us.
Hootie Hootmacher.
You got it.
Okay. Well, if you say so. And?
And Brian Krizik. I'm the fire chief with South Holland Fire Department.
All right. So, Hootie, explain what we're doing here.
So, the Transamerica Triathlon, 34 years old. It's the largest triathlon in the country.
Yeah, dude, you don't need to tell me. I do it every year. You know that. Come on.
I've seen you out there. Right. I've seen you out there.
Right.
It's huge, right?
Of course.
Triathlon's a very intimidating sport. So being around for so many years, we've realized it's tough for the layman to get involved in our sport. So what we found is that getting peer groups merged together, training together, and involved in certain competitions, it's a little bit easier of a sell for us to bring them into the sport.
Sure, because you're coming out with your pals.
Exactly. So we have, you know, first-timers who race together. We have mountain bike riders who ride together. And in 2007, we had a small competition across the Chicago Police Department and the local office of the FBI. They came to us with the same idea. Hey, can we get our peer group to race into a special competition? And we said, absolutely. So there were seven athletes in that first competition in 2007, and that's really evolved. It's kind of picked up some momentum. We called that our first responders competition. And over the course of the past couple of years, it's grown. We've had a couple of, you know, a couple dozen, 50, 100 athletes per year. And again, we found a really good network and a conduit through my very good friend here, Bryant, and his affiliation with the 100 Club to really take this thing to the next level.
Chief Krizik, explain what the 100 Club is.
The 100 Club is a non-for-profit, and they benefit the families of firefighters and police officers who are killed in the line of duty through financial support and putting their dependents through college. So.
It's a big deal because you're a family, and if you lose someone in the line of duty, you're always going to be there for those who are gone. But to be able to provide financial support is a huge thing.
Absolutely. And I had, tragically, a couple of my friends who were killed in the line of duty, and 100 Club reached out to them, were very supportive of that, and put the family at ease at that very trying time.
And there are some corporate hotshots getting involved in this as well. If there's not, you corporate hotshots that are listening now, you want to support something good, step up. I don't want to hear about, it's not in our budget. Oh, we're not in our calendar year. Oh, we got to wait for the new fiscal. If you can't support police and fire, what are you doing? Right?
Absolutely.
Are you with me,
absolutely.
Chief?
Absolutely.
Are you with me, Hootie?
I got it.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. So I have nothing but respect for what the 100 Club does in regards to what you guys do as well. So these guys are the real deal, these cops and firemen?
We're hoping so. You know, it's not common for us to have a large audience of police and fire, so we're proactively going out there to recruit. We're in the middle of that right now. Race day is August 28th, so it was a month from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're asking now is that local police, fire, first responders form a relay team. If they're not really ready for the triathlon, which it takes a little bit of training, I think we all realize that, the swim, the bike, and the run, grab two or three buddies, form a team, and come out. There's no excuses now.
Right.
Raise a little bit of money.
Nothing
for the
raises
bucks.
Your game better than friends ripping you because you're not keeping up.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right?
And we often have that competition, police and fire, right? The friendly competition, yep. The softball mm-hmm. games and stuff. But
hockey.
I think that triathlon provides a whole different aspect to that. Now we're going to truly test the athletic ability of who's stronger, police or fire. I have my bid on fire, but...
I would assume the annual physical fitness test, you can check that off if you complete the triathlon.
Yeah, you come in the top three of your age group, and we'll check that
box off right away.
Right,
what are the lengths of the events?
Sure. So we have two standard distances in the Chicago Triathlon. The standard distance is called the international distance as well. That consists of a 1.5-kilometer swim,
yep.
which is just under a mile, a 40-kilometer bike ride, which is about 25 miles, and then a 10K run, 6.2.
And average finishing time for somebody who's fit and does this is what?
You know, of that distance, 3 hours, 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have our sprint distance, which is exactly half of that.
Okay.
So it's a total of about 16 miles. It takes the average finisher around an hour 45. And it's a great introductory distance into the sport.
I couldn't do it if your cousin was biking for me, if I was taking a boat, and then I drove the actual run distance. Couldn't do it in 3.5 hours.
You could do it.
We could do a relay. You could do the swim. You could do
No, trust me, I couldn't do the swim. I could do the bike.
Okay.
I could do the run, but we'd have to do the ADD run where I get distracted, and then I come back and finish it later. It's a pretty impressive thing.
You know what's cool? For every objection there is of why people don't get into the sport, we have a solution for you, Steve.
I'm sure you do.
We were mentioning earlier, we do swim clinics. Every other Tuesday at Ohio Street Beach, we have 500 right. swimmers who come out, and coaches, volunteers like this guy right here, teach 500 athletes how to swim in open water, how to wear a wetsuit, how to avoid getting kicked.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because you got people swimming over each other, and I know for some people, they can panic and things, so people have to have a sense of that.
Yeah, it happens, right. And we teach them. It's it's all accidental. It happens. There's bumps, but no one's out there purposely being aggressive.
Now, I'm going to write a check, and I'm going to contribute because I just had something come up to compete that morning. But, Dave, I'd like to volunteer you for the competition.
Well, thank you. Thanks for volunteering
yes,
me. Unfortunately,
yes.
It's August 28th, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I think I'll write a check.
You have
also.
A football game that day?
Yeah. No. But I don't think. Well, Hootie and I were talking. I used to broadcast the Chicago Triathlon, and I would get inspired every year because really is a great event to come out and watch. But I was always nervous about the swim part because just for the, I'm a little claustrophobic, and you would think in open water that's not a place you would feel claustrophobic. But with all the swimmers around me, I always thought that would make me uncomfortable.
Well, Maureen used to do the Naperville women's try. She did it for several years mm-hmm. in a row, and she's a really good swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about that as well. So even really good swimmers, that's something you have to experience to understand what it is. But again, it shouldn't be a block from keeping you in it and getting you in it.
You're absolutely correct.
How'd you get in this business, Hootie?
You know, I was dared into it. I moved here to Chicago 16 years ago. I got into a 5K run, my first athletic event as a chubby kid, and I didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this thing called the triathlon. I watched the Olympics in 2000, the Sydney Olympics. I realized that Chicago had a pretty big event, big triathlon at that point, and I was inspired to give it a shot. So I enrolled with my brother in the Super Sprint, a very short distance race that we do on the Saturday, which we haven't even talked about. We did it, we loved it, and we actually raced the very next day as well.
The events that you compete in, are you promoting those as well?
I am, absolutely. We had the New York City Triathlon last weekend. I was fortunate enough to jump in the Hudson and swim along with everyone else.
Yeah, normally if you jump in the Hudson, it's because someone named Vito's chasing you.
No concrete boots.
Lifetime is a partner with you guys?
We actually own and operate all of these events, these triathlons.
Oh, you do?
We have about 50 endurance events across the country, from the Miami Marathon to here in Chicago, out west, out east.
So you're a busy guy.
A little bit.
This is one busy Hootie, you know what I'm saying? And what part of the South are you from?
Quincy, Illinois.
That's not that far south. Are there a lot of Hooties in Quincy?
There actually are. We flocked there as a family from Heidelberg, Germany.
Okay.
Back in the late 1800s.
And Chief, tell me about your guys. Who's gonna compete? You want to pick on anybody in particular?
Well, I absolutely pick on my brother, who is also a firefighter and will be competing. And there's always, you know, not only is that police and fire competition going on, but you may have some brother competition as well.
Is that right?
Absolutely. But overall, you know, we all come together, as Hootie said, at these training sessions, and a lot of it is about that healthy lifestyle that police and fire support and try to continue to invoke in our people. So come together on the lakefront, seeing the city from the perspective of a racer is certainly a great way to experience the whole triathlon event.
And you've got to be physically fit to be a firefighter. You just do. And, you know, full gear, just dealing with the body heat. You're dragging hoses around, dragging equipment around. But this is a whole different thing, right? You're sore in places you didn't know you could get sore in.
Right. And it's an endurance sport. So you're really testing whether or not you have the ability to go that distance. And so, yes. Fire gear, wearing the air pack, and working in those environments certainly test your physical ability, but this is at a whole different level, and a lot of fun involved with it as well.
You know, right. Mary and I can vouch for it because we do that stair climb every year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the firefighters in full gear are just kicking everybody's butt.
Yeah. Been there and done that. Yeah. That's the toughest thing.
But I assume some of the firefighters in the middle of this triathlon are go, I wish I had 50 flights of stairs because it's work.
It's a lot shorter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The folks putting us on again are who? What's the name of the company?
Lifetime Fitness.
Oh, it is Lifetime Fitness.
Yep,
yes, that's it. And 100 Club Challenge piece of this. Who am I donating to?
The 100 Club of Chicago.
But what's the website?
ChicagoTriathlon.com/100Club.
All right, so we go to ChicagoTriathlon.com. The link is right there.
Correct.
Because I'm just another pretty face. I need help on this.
Link right into them. Make a donation. But more so, come out and be a part of this.
Yeah, come experience it. Great spectator sport.
And if I heckle this year, then next year when I compete, you can heckle me.
Absolutely.
All right, I like it. Thank you for your service, Chief.
You're welcome.
And congrats to you, man. It sounds like you got quite a lot of success going here.
It's been quite a ride. I'm very fortunate.
Growing like crazy, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so again, chicagotriathlon.com, mm-hmm. and look for the link and help support it, but come out to the lakefront and scream and holler for your favorite cop and fireman.
August 28th.
August 28th. Thank you, gents. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks, you.
Steve.
921, back after this on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
So earlier this week, Dave shows me a picture of Kevin Powell addressing his high school football team. How about that?
Very impressive, wasn't it?
Wasn't it at Hersey?
Hersey High School.
Former offensive lineman Kevin Powell talking to the kids, getting their head right for the season. Kevin standing by now? Now look at Kevin. He's a grizzled baseball reporter. A lot of people go up to Kevin and they go, Bruce Levine? He goes, no, it's Kevin. It's Kevin. And Kevin Powell will join us in just a second. Tell me when he's ready. Are you sure? Yeah, sure. Okay, if you're sure. Because the phone doesn't look like it's ready, but I'm going to try.
Maybe he's
right
at Taco Bell getting that new Cheeto burrito.
Kev? Yeah, see, the phone's not ready. You tell me when he's ready. Kevin Powell will join us in just a second. We wanted to talk about wrapping up the Cubs-Sox series with Kevin, who goes to how many games a week now? Four or five?
Something like that. He's been there the last four nights.
Yeah, yeah. Because when you sign up to be the WGN baseball guru, you got to walk the walk.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. The Cubs did a nice, I'll save this for Kevin, but the Cubs did a nice turnaround after losing those first two games. They lost those first two games and every Cub fan went, here we go. Here we go. I knew it was going to happen. Yeah. I knew it was too good to be true. Sorry, Grandma. But, Kevin's ready to join us now. Good morning, Kev. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. Of course, you can be heard daily on the Ro Khan Show when Ro actually lets you talk.
That's true. Three to seven every afternoon.
3 to 7, and Kev's on for up to 90 seconds in those 4 hours. So, all right. So, impressive turnaround by the Cubs. I thought so.
Yeah, I think Chapman's already making an impact. You see Dexter Fowler called the Stroped Rondon Chapman the trio, the three-headed monster, and I think that's what we're going to see here down the stretch. I mean, you can go 7, 8, 9 with them really the rest of the way, and it's going to be close to lights out, especially with Chapman, who is absolutely devastating off the mound. I don't know how anybody's ever going to hit off him. The only thing he'll get into trouble with is with control. If he's getting it over the plate, those 103-mile-per-hour fastballs are going to be just fine. So I think he's already making an impact. He felt it at Wrigley when the fans are all standing when he comes in, and they don't sit down until Chapman's off the field. So he's bringing a whole new element to that team.
Well, if you translate Aroldis, it means stand up. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. You have a question for our baseball expert?
Well, yeah, I was going to mention what Ryan Dempster said yesterday, which I think is a fair statement. At some point, somebody's going to run into a fastball occasionally. It just happens. But they're not going to hit this guy very often. And it really does shorten up the game. You know, guys, these starting pitchers, as good as they've been, had best get used to the idea that they may get a bit of an early hook when you've got a bullpen like this and the way it is set up. You can take a lot of stress off your starting pitchers. You can really set it up. And if a team is behind early in a game against the Cubs, they know they better get to work quickly because they're going to be in trouble if it gets to the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning.
And Dem's talk yesterday, Kev, I thought it was interesting the way he explained it. A guy who throws as hard as Chapman said you can't expect to pick up whether or not it's the fastball or the harder fastball. He said right. You pick your slot and you swing. And you hope based on where the ball's been appearing before, your bat's going to hit the ball, which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, and don't forget that his slider is 92 miles per hour. So it's not that he's just a one-pitch pitcher. I mean, he'll come at you with a 103-mile-per-hour fastball and then hit you with that devastating slider. So, again, if his control's there, I don't think anybody's touching him. But, yeah, that's a good point, Dave, about, you know, the starting pitching. And we asked that to John Lackey yesterday, who's a veteran, he's a competitor. He never wants to come out of the game. And we sort of asked him if that'll sort of bug him a little bit if he starts getting an early hook. And he said, we'll see. And Joe Maddon also addressed it. And he knows it's probably going to bug some of those veteran starters they have. But, you know, when you have those guys in the bullpen and you know, in the NL, when your pitcher's coming up in, say, the sixth inning and you want to, you know, put another bat in there to give yourself a chance on offense, you're going to do it because you know you can turn it over to the bullpen now and they're pretty much going to be lights out. So, yeah, Chapman is the deal was a whole lot the Cubs gave up, but it was a perfect storm for the Yankees because the Yankees know that the Cubs are in a if not now, then when mode, as Theo Epstein put it the other day, and they were willing to give up a whole bunch for him, including their top prospect in Torres. So I think it was worth it, though, for the Cubs, because we've already seen how dominant Chapman is.
Am I remembering this right? A 92-mile-an-hour slider is amazing. Wasn't Greg Maddux's fastball about 85, 86?
Probably, yeah.
About that, yeah.
Maybe more than that, maybe.
Yeah. All right, so the most important question I have, because Roe's been on all week with us as well from Philadelphia. While Roe and Anna were out, what did you and Violetta Zippity-Doo-Dah do to the show or to the station or the studio?
Well, we trashed Roe's office, no question.
Good
that
call.
Was obvious. We trashed that, you know, graffiti over the walls, things like that. So
did you spend most of the afternoon playing Pokemon Go?
I'm avoiding Pokemon Go. I just don't get it. I gave it a shot for about 30 minutes, and I just don't get it. So it was mostly just, you know, pulling pranks. There's booby traps in his office now, so, you know, a month from now, Ro will still be feeling the effects
That's of great.
When he left us alone. So
that's great. And, you know, when he left, he sold both of you no parties. Did you have a party?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was a kegger. We invited friends over and things like that. So it was a big party in Ro's office. It was a good time.
Cover the damage. Kev, you're on this afternoon, and are you working this weekend?
I'll likely be out at Wrigley Sunday, I'm guessing. Dave.
Yes, Sunday, right? Kev.
So if you want to,
I'll be there.
So if you want to meet Kev, go up to the press box, knock, and say Kev said it was okay if I come up.
Yeah. You can't get up there.
I'll go over just fine. Yeah.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, see you guys. Thanks.
What are we doing? Break before the big story? Break big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
943. Winners on the show today got a collection of prizes, including some who received the following: a certificate for a foursome, including greens fees and cart fees at any Billy Casper golf course. Plan the 6th annual world's largest golf outing Monday, benefiting veterans and their families, and specifically the Fisher House. Find a course and register for good at BillyCasperGolf.com. Also, Lou Malnati's Pizza. Of course, that's LouMalnati's.com. Apt gift cards from our friends at Apt, ABTApt.com. All part of the prize packages presented to the winners today. Mark Carlos here.
What an amazing prize package, Steve.
Or tens of dollars.
Yeah.
Worth tens of dollars.
I tell you what, in Los Angeles, where I live now, Lou Malnati's gift cards are going for 5-6 times face value on the street.
I bet they are. What kind of crap pizza do you have in L.A.?
Not even. The only decent pizza you can get is at Joe Montana's place.
Yeah, I bet. Chicago.
Yeah, and he's got a Sicilian pan style, and he imports the deep dish pizza and the combo sandwiches. But what passes for great pizza in Los Angeles, I stand out.
That's actually the name of one of the pizza places.
It is.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they open the spinoff place.
Oh, they do? They're really tough to Google. They're tough to Google. Everybody spells them wrong. Let's check in with Andrea Dallas before she wraps up her week in Philadelphia. Good morning, Andrea.
Hey, good morning. Very funny story. I was on my way to the airport, hopped an Uber, and my Uber driver, who was awesome, by the way, he said, yes, you know, 15, 20 minutes to the airport. All of a sudden, we start to get on 95, and we get stopped because Hillary's motorcade was coming by. And it begins.
Yeah, and did she wave? Did she say thanks for covering this?
Yeah, it was odd. She was kind of waving, kind of doing the queen wave out of the sunroof of her SUV limo.
Yeah, of course she is. Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was a little odd, but again, you know, she's reeling on the speech from last night. She and Tim Kaine, in all seriousness, they have an event. It was supposed to be at Independence Hall, Steve, which is really cool. I toured that yesterday.
Right.
But they thought it was going to rain here today because it was a little overcast, so they moved it to Temple University. So they're all out there today.
What, Hillary can't be in the rain?
I don't know, Steve.
Hillary Clinton is already ruining traffic in major cities in America. It's ridiculous. It's a huge problem. We have reporters being blocked from doing their jobs.
That's Donald Trump's cousin, Chuck. Chuck Trump.
I was going to say, is that Trump or Bernie? Because I had
was a little bit of Bernie.
Come up to me. I had a kid come up to me and hand me a flyer and said, hey, all of Bernie's supporters are going to rally today in Philadelphia. And he hands me the flyer. And I said, you know, not that I'm going, but for news purposes, I said, well, where's it going to be? He said, well, we're trying to figure that out.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm not kidding you guys.
Does the kid know that she got nominated and it's over?
I don't know. I wish somebody would have told the Bernie supporters there last night that, okay, you know what? The whole speech was about coming together. We're going to work together. Bernie Sanders' name was mentioned several times. And then you still get people booing when we're talking about our military and ISIS.
Yeah, yeah.
And crazy.
And the no more war chance. What was your favorite part of the week?
Ooh, my favorite part of the week. You know, I really like Philadelphia. It's a very celebratory atmosphere. There were really cool things about both cities and both conventions. I really enjoyed listening to President Obama speak and being there when Hillary Clinton spoke last night. I mean, no matter
any
way you paint it, it's an historic moment. And just to be in the room with, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And I'm serious, Steve, there was not one empty seat. Jeff Carlin and I, Rose producer, we were looking. I said, let's just try and find one empty seat, and we couldn't.
You know, I don't know if you saw her, but Paris Hilton did an interview this week, and she said, and I don't know if Hillary addressed,
no.
I don't know if Hillary addressed this last night. I'm not making this up. Paris Hilton did an interview with an Italian paper and said she's very concerned about ISIS, and she feels she may be a target. Did Hillary Clinton bring that up last night?
No, but didn't ISIS release a statement on their website saying, nah,
yeah,
not interested?
Yeah, that is one head we do not want.
Yes.
It's empty. We've looked into it. There is nothing inside. Why cut it off if it's empty, hollow like a jack-o'-lantern? We don't need it. You blow in one ear, it's like you're playing a pan flute.
I've never actually heard you do a pan flute before. Andrea,
you covered the nostrils and the other ear. You can actually play way down upon the Suwannee River.
All right, now.
I think they didn't let Mark DiCarlo on the floor. Let me just say.
Mark DiCarlo, that's an ISIS spokesman. All right, get back safe.
He wasn't on the floor.
Get back safe.
Bye, Andrea.
See you soon.
All right, there you go. That's Andrea live in Philly. We'll tell you where Mark's working tonight. My friend Mark DiCarlo's here, and you've been in town most of the week, right?
I have.
Came in for the Cubs Sox series?
I came in. I went to the first Cubs Sox game at Wrigley and watched the Cubs beat them 8-1. I'm telling you, man, when you see Aroldis Chapman throw in person, it looks different than a regular human.
Well, it's got to be. 105-mile-an-hour fastball.
And he's so theatrical on the mound. I think that's part of his ability. He just scares the crap out of the batter.
You got major league hitters who are hoping the bat will get a piece of the baseball.
Yeah. I think he's a game changer.
How big is he, Dave? Like physically?
I think he's about 5'4". He might look bigger on TV.
But he's wiry.
He throws very hard.
Look up his specs, will you? Give me the blueprint on Aroldis Chapman.
You can actually build him with one of those.
6'4", 212?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Get yourself an ink printer. One of those, what do you call them? 3D printers?
3D printers.
You can make one at home.
Get yourself an ink printer. How old are you?
Get yourself a dot matrix printer, there. You get the Aroldis Chapman program. You make two tree of them, put them on your softball team.
Fax him to you. Where are you doing a show?
I'm at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora, Saturday nights. Why don't you come out and patronize me if you don't do it enough on this show?
I would come out. I'd come out and open for you for free, but my son is having an anniversary party. He and his wife have been married 3 years.
How does that involve you?
I'm parking cars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'll be in the city tomorrow night.
Damn.
I'll be making an appearance in the city tomorrow night. If you see me, just know that I'm making a public appearance. I'll be at a Jewel and a Portillo's.
Not working, just laying in the aisle moaning.
Hey, someone pay attention to me. I'm Steve.
Clean up on aisle 7.
Now, you've been out to the what's the name of this joint again? You're at tomorrow?
The Comedy Shrine.
You've been out to this place a lot.
I like it.
Do you have stock in it?
No, I don't. Dave Sinker runs it.
Dave's a good guy.
Dave's a great guy. And Patty Vasquez, our mutual friend, said he's got a ginormous collection of comedy memorabilia.
Yeah,
Patty says it looks like comedy threw up in the lobby. But it's
a pretty good description, actually.
It is, but it's for a comedy fan. There's all kinds of great
multiple
stuff.
Multiple theaters, too.
Yeah, he has a stand-up theater, and he's got an improv theater. So I'm doing the improv show, the Who's Line show, at 8 o'clock, and then the Naughty show at 10 o'clock. And they have a really fun cast of people out there. And that's like, you can walk to your house from
the... Yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Now, you and I did the improv show about a year ago. And the first show was pretty entertaining.
Right.
And then the second show, you did things that I should file a lawsuit over.
It got bawdy.
Yeah.
It got bawdy.
So if you go to the 10 o'clock show...
I'm not going to say you were gamey that night.
If you go to the 10 o'clock show, it's not for your grandma, right?
No, it's not. Unless your grandma's a filthy... What?
All right. Now, what are your plans for today? Because I worry about you when you wander around the city alone.
That's what I'm doing. I'm shooting some comedy pieces for the Windy City Live people. Then I'm going to try and scalp a ticket out at Wrigley
Field. Wait, Windy City Live. I thought we were done with them.
Well, we're pretty close.
So if we see you and your fine head of hair with a camera,
yes,
come around because you'll be funny.
Yes, what we're doing today is we're going to be doing a social experiment. We're going to get four young people. We're going to have them put their phones down on a table and see how long they can not look at them.
Actually, that'd be very funny.
What?
Do you guys remember when I said we were going to do a show and everybody had to put their phones in a bucket and nobody could touch their phones to see how long somebody lasts?
Is it like a swingers party, Steve? And then you pull out...
Yeah, pull out two phones and you have to go with whoever
torture.
You end up with.
I have the flip phone! Talk about your grandmother. That's what it would be. You pull the flip phone out, you get granny.
But we meant to do that. I like that idea.
So that's what I'm doing. And then my friend Ryan Cheverini is playing a musical gig tonight, and I'm going to go play harmonica with him and his band.
Where's that at?
I don't know. I have to find out.
Yeah, that would be important to actually know where this is going on.
I'm just going to have my bandolero of harmonicas and wander the city until I see him.
All right, blatant plug time. You're where tomorrow night?
I am at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora.
Aurora.
Which is near the Fox Valley Mall. Right?
It's right behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
At 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock doing the Who's Line improv comedy show. It's kind of like what we do on the air here. Bantering.
But funny?
Exactly.
And it's ComedyShrine.com?
That is what it is.
Yeah. See, that's not
It's
not my first day. Great seeing you, buddy. Rich out of your lovely wife.
I will. RichUncle.com.
RichUncles.com.
There's more than one?
Yeah, there is more than one. Couple of minutes before 10. Do we need a break here?
Do you work all the way to 10? Because you're like putting on your golf clothes and you're halfway out the door
I think
right
you've
now.
Heard the show. I quit working a while ago. It's a couple minutes before 10. The Bill and Wendy show is next.